Please be seated. We have a backup on this. I'm going to make sure that it gets recorded. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want you to think of a street fair or an outdoor marketplace. If you've been to a Middle Eastern souk or a Greek agora, think of that image. It's a busy day, lots of people, lots of noise, and the vendors are trying to get you to come near. Come and see, come and see. I have what you need. Can you hear them calling? In the marketplaces and streets of Jerusalem, there have been vendors selling water for millennia. It's a hot place, dry. They're each vying for attention to buy their product. I want you to think, too, of Lady Wisdom, who's personified in many places in Scripture. Hear this from Proverbs 1. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. Can you hear her call? Now I want you to listen to the invitation in our Old Testament passage from Isaiah 55, verse 1. It repeats the call to come three times. And it actually starts in Hebrew with a word that the translation we use, the ESV, doesn't translate. It just leaves it out. But it's essentially a word to get attention, like, hey, 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 you, come and everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah is known for colorful depictions using cultural and spiritual references, so he likely had a water vendor and Lady Wisdom in mind when he wrote this. Isaiah 55 is the last chapter of a whole section of scripture in Isaiah from chapters 40 to 55 that kind of are set apart, work together. And it's a time of exile and return. The grace of God runs through that section of Isaiah's, and it also does a lot of mocking of idolatry. The Lord has not abandoned Israel in the exile that Isaiah is seeing in the future, but rather the Lord has chosen Israel as a nation, as a servant. The Lord has been faithful to his covenant, even when the people practiced idolatry. And grace is the means for cleansing of sin, not just a personal sin, but of corporate or national sin. God promised return from exile, and he's been faithful to the people. But the people repeatedly put their trust in idols. And an idol is really anything that draws us away from God or in which we trust more than we trust God. Contemporary examples might be wealth or media, individualism. And Isaiah reminds us in this section of scripture that Israel needs the grace that cleanses her from sin in order to carry out the call to serve him. Those are related. That should be a reminder for us, too, that as we serve God, we also have a need of regular cleansing from personal and corporate sin, because Isaiah isn't talking primarily to individuals, but to the nation of Israel. And like the people of Israel, we are part of a nation. We're part of a people. We're part of a system. We are part of a community, part of the body of Christ. And we're invited to see a bigger picture than just ourselves. In order to more fully understand this passage, we need to imagine ourselves as exiles. In what sense might you be an exile? Might I be an exile? As Christians, we're all an exile in the sense that our true home is in heaven. But that's not the only answer. And it will be different for everybody. But certainly, the pandemic has pushed us all from our previous life to one of uncertainty and peril, and we cannot go back. We are exiled, at least for now, in this uncomfortable place. And when the pandemic ends, like when the biblical exile ended, We will not return to how we used to be or how we used to do things. Exile changes circumstances, and it changes us. So I invite you this week to spend some time discerning, in what ways are you feeling like you're in exile? How are you experiencing that? How are you being changed? And how can we support one another more fully? Perhaps you can share your insights when you meet with your small group this week. Isaiah 55 opens with a list of imperatives. Come, buy, eat, listen, delight, hear, behold. This is God's reality, and he wants us to be there. Exile can be a time of scarcity and poverty, especially in an agrarian culture. What God's reality is promising, though, is great abundance. The invitation mentions water, wine, milk, and bread. God will provide for our sustenance. Bread and water represent basic needs. They represent salvation from starvation and thirst. They point to a spiritual reality as well. Milk and wine, those are extras, and they point to the truth that the Lord doesn't want to just provide the minimum. He wants our cups to overflow. Remember, the call is written in the imperative. The people are commanded to buy, eat, and drink without money or without labor. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. In God's economy, there is a free lunch, at least for us. You might say that this covenant Isaiah points to is with God's promise of abundance and salvation is good news, is gospel news. God's abundant reality defies commodification. His abundance cannot be measured, and it cannot be hoarded. Isaiah writes in verse 1, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Jesus echoes this hundreds of years later in his encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well in the Gospel of John. Jesus offers her living water that she won't have to pay for and she doesn't have to labor for. She doesn't have to go every day and get it. Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will well up in him, become a spring of water to eternal life. And while this conversation with Jesus and the Samaritan woman began with the need for an actual drink of water, Jesus shifts to living water, which quenches spiritual thirst, which only he can do. And Isaiah 2 is also speaking of both actual water and spiritual thirst. The first half of verse 2 asks, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which does not satisfy? Isaiah speaks against idolatry at length in this section of scripture. Why do you think that people trusted in idols when idols could not meet their needs? Why did they labor and sacrifice for false gods who would leave them wanting? Why do we go after things that will not satisfy us? It remains a problem today. Why do we turn to things that ultimately will leave us wanting? The second half of verse 2 ties God's call to stop going after what doesn't meet our needs or fill us with abundance with listening diligently to his word. Listen diligently to his word. Spiritual hunger and thirst are satisfied when we listen to God's word. Can you hear the Lord calling you? Listening to that call is more than hearing. It's hearing with feet. Listening to the call is about coming to God so our soul may live. Listening in this sense results in coming to God with our hunger and our thirst that he alone can satisfy those physical and spiritual needs. Our gospel reading today, the parable of the sower, is also about responding to the word of God, or as the ESV translates, the word of the kingdom. When we come to God, when we are fertile soil, open to growing the scattered seeds, we will have an abundance of fruit, 30, 60, or 100-fold of what was planted. God is all about abundance when we listen to his word and trust in his provision. In the ancient Near East, when a new king came to power, he would usually declare release from debts, and he would host a great banquet to be enjoyed by all his subjects. He would be generous to many, and these were signs that it was a new day under a new king. And Isaiah 55 should bring that kind of new day for the people of Israel to mind, a day when the kingdom is declared and the seeds are scattered generously far and wide, a day when there is abundance that doesn't require our resources of money and labor. God's economy is not the same as ours. The kingdom of God looks different than the kingdoms of the world. Isaiah points to the grace-filled Davidic covenant in this chapter. It's not David, though, that Isaiah says is the one to call to the nations. This is important. The description of David as witness, leader, and commander give way to a plural you. You to the people. You are the means of calling others to the Lord. You. One commentator writes that the promises made to David are taken out of the political sphere and the sphere of kingship and promised to the nation as a whole. God doesn't break his eternal covenant, but he applies it more widely. The result of this shift should be that nations stream to Israel and to Israel's gods because the people have called them. Isaiah has earlier said that Israel should be a light to the nations. The nations come because they see the character of God who is glorified, who's been glorified in his people. May that still be true for us today. It's all about grace. Grace to David, grace to the people of God, grace to the nations. Isaiah goes on to implore the people to not wait, to return to the Lord from the idols who do not satisfy. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Today, I also implore you to return to the Lord because we are all sinners and we all stray. The Lord is near. He's with us now, wherever you are. And because that's true, we can find him. We can lean on him and we can listen diligently to him. My favorite verses in Scripture is in Philippians 4. It's across two verses. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. When we begin to let worry get ahead of us, remember to seek the Lord while he is near. Come to the Lord and listen so your soul may live. That's quite an amazing picture that Isaiah is painting. I'm reminded of the Eucharist, where we eat bread and drink wine, which doesn't have cost for us. They represent the spiritual food, the body and blood of Jesus, which is available by grace alone, because he bore the cost. We can freely come and partake of the spiritual nourishment he provides. Now, we may not completely understand the call to listen diligently to the Lord as a means of eating what is good and trusting in him alone. And we may not completely understand how our soul lives when we feast on the body and blood of Christ. Those are profound. But the Lord reminds us that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. Can you hear the word of the kingdom? The seed is being scattered. You can choose to not set down roots or to allow thorns to choke the word from changing you. But you can also allow the Lord to make you fertile ground where much fruit is produced. It's up to you. How will you respond? It's a pretty good deal he's offering. Come with your hunger and thirst. You don't need money or to labor for the Lord's provision. Come with your needs and desires. Come expecting abundance. Come with great expectancy. Can you hear the Lord calling? Come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand for the creed.